Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandomaxis. I'm your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Oh, and look, both my co-hosts are here already. Yay!
Greetings!
Hello, how are you guys?
I don't know what the heck you said, AJ, but it made my little, you know how you press the button down to record what you're saying into text? I don't know what you said, but it made my phone go ding. Like, I tried to type it. Oh, Siri never works right, does it?
Nope.
No,
she never listens
to me.
Phantom
she listens to everybody but me. But the fact that she listened to somebody on the phone is really bad.
That's funny.
So, how are you guys?
Good.
I'm
ready
okay.
for another fun
Thank
night.
You.
Yeah, I'm good. Looking forward to another Tuesday night with you guys.
Yep, me too.
All right.
So
you guys going to start with Surrealist Day. I couldn't think of the name of it.
Surrealist.
Yes. Let's start with Surreal Estate. It seemed like so long ago that I watched it. I watched it, I don't know, like maybe last Friday or Saturday. I don't know. I watched it like, I guess when it was on, which wasn't that many days ago, but it felt so long ago that I had to read a recap today to remember what happened. And this is the one
Well, it's been
about,
a long, long time for me, so.
This is the one where
yeah,
Luke's
I
like, yeah, it's like old friend slash rival
copyright.
Brings him in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this guy, I liked it, so I thought it was kind of interesting that this old guy that's haunting people is because they stole his designs and it was hurting him. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But I liked, the part that I liked the most was where he totally screwed, like you said, his rival. And he's like, this is what you're going to do. And he's like, well, you wanted me to get rid of him, you know. So,
oh, yeah, you mean at the end. You mean the way it's resolved in the end.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and this is
yeah.
the whole one with the... This one has more going on, too, though, because besides Luke, his storyline going on, this is also when Susan and Zoe are at the other house, and they're going to be killed by the drowning victims. So this one kind of has two stories going on, I guess, at the same time.
Well, yeah. And they were both... Like, kind of interesting. I mean, so there's a huge ending, right? But, I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting how the story, Luke's story, is about, like, it's not a haunted house. It's like an entire housing development that's haunted, right? Like mm-hmm. this guy brings Luke in because it's like multiple houses are having the same phenomenon at the same time, which I
right,
thought was kind of interesting. Yeah, all the ones that had the sunroom attached. But I thought it was kind of interesting because it's like only episode 4 and we've gone to like haunted house to like entire haunted neighborhood. Which, you know, it just occurs to me that now that I'm saying it, like, you know how in Poltergeist, like their house is haunted and it turns out because it's built on top of like a cemetery. How come all the other houses aren't also haunted in Poltergeist? How come only Craig T. Nelson's house is haunted? Because the whole neighborhood.
I don't think I've ever seen Poltergeist, so I can't answer that question.
AJ, if you're listening to that, ponder that for a moment. but anyway, it was kind of interesting that it's only in episode 4 and we already went to like it's an interesting idea. And I thought about it, I'm like, oh, we saw that kind of soon, actually, when there's still so many haunted house ideas that you could work through. And I don't mean it as a criticism, I mean it as sort of like an interesting, like a good sign that they have interesting ideas early in the show. And
yeah,
then I really
different things in different episodes.
Yeah, and then Susan's storyline. Yeah, it was with the drowning victims, but it was kind of like the comic relief a little bit, right? Because those people were so unbearable. The people, I mean, they're like their
yeah.
whole job appears to be Instagram influencers, right?
Yeah,
and they're so obnoxious and so horrible.
Yes.
And
that's why when people ask,
like,
that's why when I get offers to interview influencers, I ignore them.
Yes.
I'm constantly
with
getting
reason,
these offers. It's like, no, thank you. No, I don't know that they're really like that. I shouldn't say that, but it's kind of like, there are these people I need to interview. But anyway, they're kind of like not so nice. And she's like, blames her for the problems with the mirrors. So
yeah, and Susan's like, but they're your mirrors. Susan's like, but they're your mirrors that you brought to the house.
She's like, but it must be the house.
Yeah, that they were. I mean, they were horrible and entertaining.
Maybe a little bit of it. Yeah, they were. So we got that. We see that she can, and this is where, see, I had thought this in the very beginning, and we kind of had this discussion that Susan could, is pyrokinetic, but I took it that way from the beginning. So to me, I wasn't really super surprised that she saved the day that way.
And to me,
that was the case.
I almost texted you, but I couldn't bring myself to type the words, "I was wrong and you were right." No, I'm just kidding. I say that to you a lot, but. As soon as I watched it, I was like, oh, I remember we talked about this, and I was like, no, I think it was the poltergeist. I don't think she had the power. I think the poltergeist was like because of her emotions, the poltergeist was doing it. And you were like, no, Karen, I think she has the power. So, Jamie, you're totally right.
And granted,
I should say, yes, I had seen
this when I talked to you, but, I mean, I thought that from the very beginning. That wasn't like I was saying, you know, you were wrong because I knew what was going to happen. That was how I took it when I first watched it. I thought that was what was going on. So, I
interpreted it wrong.
You just take things differently, and it doesn't really, you know.
Yep.
That's good, though. We should,
yeah.
Good
yeah.
So we got that. We got her and Zoe kind of having some scenes together, which was interesting. And we also got more on Phil, Father Phil, because we got to see sort of about how he was a priest before. Because he had to use their room to get some information. Wait, or is it just saying here? So I thought the ghost did. Oh no, I'm sorry. This is when he goes. Well, we know he's. We still know he's a priest, though. That wasn't telling you anything you didn't know.
No, we knew.
Said, but this is
we knew he used to be a priest.
Yeah, this
before
he gets
got
information
married.
Elsewhere. Yeah. There's one that has a little bit more backstory of him coming up. I don't think that's really spoiler to say that, but I read.
No, this one he goes to like the town archive and learns about the shipwreck.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, well, in this one, he learns more about the shipwreck. But either way, he's the one that helps them and tells them about the
shipwreck.
The dead seaman. It's
them.
Basically like they died because the guy wasn't able to turn the lighthouse on. So by her, Susan, making the light, it was like she changed, I guess, kind of changed their fate. I don't know. I didn't quite, I mean, I guess. It didn't make 100% sense to me why that made them be okay with it, but it was able to I guess, save their soul, so they finally were able to move on, like they saw the lighthouse light, I guess. So they weren't
mad anymore. Yeah, because Father Fred, or Fred, I guess is just his name, he's not a priest anymore, he says, like, oh, they're vengeful because, like, the lighthouse keeper, he was with a woman and he fell asleep or something, and that's why he failed to turn on the light, right? And
they're
vengeful and they're coming to kill you.
Or whatever, they smashed.
He said that he was like, oh, they're going to come kill you, but we saw the ship, and I felt like, oh, that's a ghost ship. And so I just thought this now, but maybe they kept, like, reenacting and reliving that moment, and by creating the light, she, like, enabled them to, I don't know,
finally
go on to the next world.
That's where I'm a little, like, I get it, and that makes sense. I think you're right. They were probably reenacting it, but I guess I don't get the connection of why they're therefore not mad at that guy anymore. But I guess it's just they couldn't. It was like they were stuck, I guess, until they could see the light and know where to go.
Yeah.
I guess. Not that it has to make 100% sense, but it makes enough sense. But that's the point. Now they can move on because she helped them find the way home. So there's that story going on. So there's quite a bit in this one, I think. And like I said, Susan and Zoe get to do a little bit more bonding, which is nice. And like I said, I like the story how he ended it with his the guy. I can't think of the right word, but like you said, not his enemy. The guy that he's
it was sort of his frenemy, like his rival.
Rival. So he kind of is like, this is what you're going to do. And it's kind of like, whoa, you asked me to get rid of him. This is how we're going to get rid of him. So the guy got what he needed and got to move on. I mean, that guy was like crabby, but like he had a right to be in a way, you know, it's like, so I thought that was interesting storyline.
Yeah, like he was, I mean, he was doubly wronged. Like he was wronged by the woman he loved, but then I get, so
they kept,
if I understood this correctly, his partner stole his design, and the sunroom that he designed was made for the woman he loved, yeah. So by seeing it on all these houses, it was making him, like, insane, making him unsure.
So it was like he threw it in his face and it pissed him off, yeah.
Yeah.
So
oh, and plus his copyright was infringed, right? Like, it was a double insult because his copyright was stolen and it was the room for the woman he loved. So, yeah, I like that,
the guy wasn't so happy he had to update the houses, but it will fix the problem,
so. Yeah, and Luke is like, oh, you want this guy to stop haunting the houses? Stop putting on the room. That makes him haunt.
Yeah, right. And the guy was happy and he left, so all was great. Yeah, and so like I said, I think there was a lot going on, but I don't think there was necessarily any, like, I want to say, like, mythology in the sense that, like, the ongoing story there wasn't a whole lot with.
Well,
There
was this one little bit where Luke goes to Megan and I don't want to come to your house anymore, and, like, she thinks he's breaking up with her. And he's like, no, I just can't keep going to your house because my mother's haunting it. Now, you and I talked a lot last week about his mother was so mean to him. And I was really glad to see that he's going to separate himself from that toxic person.
Yeah.
he doesn't seem
like a very nice person.
No, but I think that, if I remember correctly, didn't it feel like Megan thought that he was breaking up with her? And he's like, no, I just don't want to come to your house anymore. You can come to my house. And so she goes in, and that's all we see, right? Like, he has her in for a cup of coffee or a drink or whatever, I think, right? They go to his house, I think, or am I making that up?
I think.
At any rate.
So it's been, months since I've seen this. You know, you're fresher in your mind than mine. I'm reading through a sci-fi recap to see, but I don't see anything about that.
I forget exactly, but at any rate, he's like, I don't want to come to your house anymore. And she thinks he's like, he doesn't want to see her. And he's like, no, I just don't want to come to your house anymore because my mother is haunting it. I mean, he doesn't say that exactly.
Which makes sense.
But, and then
that
she's like, okay, so, I mean, they're still going to see each other. Like, that relationship is moving along a little bit. I like it more and more because, I mean, I don't, you know, like, the ship is never my main thing in a show. I like it. I mean, I like her character. I find that they do have a spark, and I like them together. But I also like that they're not putting Luke with Susan, and they're not putting, like, it's not being a workplace romance, which I think I don't want to see just because it's done on so many shows, and I like that they're doing it a little bit differently. He's got a love interest,
like,
but it's not.
The friendship between, but I also like the friendship between Luke and Susan, and I agree that it's not a romance. All right.
Well, I'm looking.
I don't see anything else. I think that's it.
No, I think that was about it. It was a pretty decent episode. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I think it was good. That was episode 4.
That was episode 4. So we have, I'm assuming there are 13. I don't really know, but we're very early
into
it.
I don't know. I've seen 8. That's all I can say. I've seen 8. So I don't know how many there are, but there's more than that.
So we're still pretty early in it.
Okay. The only other thing that I will say is I actually am pretty sure tomorrow talking to Morris Deanwit, which was what I had mentioned before.
Who?
So people send questions. He plays the guy who's like the techie guy that has all like the Ghostbuster type stuff.
Oh, the guy who always speaks in quotes. The guy who always speaks in literary quotes.
Yeah.
His name is... Yeah, I forget his name. You're speaking to that actor. Great. What's his name?
Yes.
What's the actor's name?
It's his real name.
Maurice.
Yeah, Maurice. Dean Wynton, sorry. He was on Haven, so I knew him from back then.
Cool.
Anyway, talking to him, that will be coming up. And, like I said, I've seen... 3 or 8, so that's 4 more. I can't count. I'm like,
and 8 was not a finale.
I don't know. I just can't think today at all, I swear. The next
sci-fi shows
is about the rapper. I'm looking up what they're about to see.
They're usually
13
on Sci-Fi Channel, so maybe 13.
Yeah, usually 10 or 13. And his character, you were asking me, his character's name's August. That was what I was going to say.
August, that's right. His name is August.
Yeah. It's, well, according to Internet Movie Database, there's 10 episodes. Sometimes there's 10, but it could just be not updated yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
I actually probably should check and see if there's any more screeners with TCAs. I haven't even, have not even looked. There might be.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Really cool.
All right. Well, anyway, people can send me questions for him on Twitter. My whole comment of what I was going to say.
Yeah, if I think of any else.
Alrighty.
Is that it? I mean, we didn't put Roswell on the docket this week because I think we don't intend to cover it regularly.
Oh,
but did you watch it?
Talk about it real quick.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did watch it.
Oh.
I forgot that I watched it.
We didn't schedule it. Well, probably also because last week you were like, I just don't care about these characters, and I was like, I agree. Maybe we shouldn't, you know. But I did watch it. I just watched it today.
I don't dislike the show. I don't know. The characters themselves, I'm just not usually huge on. I don't know. I just don't. The relationships
and
that, I don't care as much about, if I'm honest.
They're reaching, like, I don't want to say it's a new low of dysfunction because they've been dysfunctional since the beginning of the series, but they're really reaching a low point. And it's frustrating at how easily they are manipulated by Mr. Jones. Glee.
Yeah.
With the husband's name Noah, right? It's basically, it's exactly Noah.
Yeah,
oh, right. He's in a cage.
Although,
they got locked in a cave and he's manipulating them.
Yeah, it sucks that he like got out and put Max in the cage, but I kind of feel like he kind of deserved that. I mean, they had him, you know, stuck in there, and it's not like his brother and sister, or not brother and sister, I'm calling him brother and sister. Sorry. It's not like still thinking of how Isabel's his sister and Yamaha. It's not like Michael and Isabel can't come get him out, you know? So, you know, we don't know how that's going to go. But I don't know. The whole, like I said before, the whole line with Michael being the son of the dictator, and I don't know. I just don't know how the story's going. I mean, now they're bringing, like you said, Liz came back, and it seems like maybe she and Max are going to make up, but then Max is kind of like not having it, which I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't, like I said, I'm not, I mean, obviously theirs is the main relationship of the show, but it's just, I don't know. Like, it's just something about it that sometimes I don't really care about the most of the main characters. I did find it interesting, and I do think this is from the books if I remember rightly, but don't quote me on that. I did find it interesting that we're learning that Isabel is an empath and that those stones kind of make their power stronger. I think that could be interesting. I don't know. I'm just not sure where it's going, I guess. Like I said, I'm more interested in the characters that aren't the main characters. Like, what was up? I was even more interested in this week, Alex, with, is it Deep Sky? I always want to call it the wrong thing.
Deep Sky, yeah.
Something Sky. Up with that machine's like it's like a radio and there's like somebody contacting him through it. That could be potentially interesting.
I don't know, but
every
time I see the Deep Sky, you know, they wear that ring with DS on it, and I always think of Charlie and Drive Shaft in Lost because he had that DS ring.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I think that I felt like where it went this week was very predictable because, of course, they're going to get – Mr. Jones is going to get free. And, like, you know he's going to masquerade as Max, right? Like, the only reason to have a clone – so there can be mistaken identity. Otherwise, why would he not
think
it's like somebody else,
apart.
Right?
I mean, then it would have really been like Noah. But at the same time, it would have been over. So it might have been better. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it was kind of, I mean, it was obvious that he was going to get out and lock Max up so he can go around, shave and pretend he's Max. I mean, I think everybody saw that coming. The only thing that surprises me is that it happened this early in, like, episode 4. It was really dumb. I also feel where Michael has been going is so, like, Michael is so, like, self-loathing and self-destructive, and he always has been, but I felt like he had some character growth last year, and they've taken it all away from him and made him even worse, right?
Yes, but I did like some of the thing with him and Alex, because I appreciated that Alex was kind of like, there aren't different roles for you. You can't say that, you know, I don't have to be like my father, but you don't. You do. Like, it's either one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. I appreciated a lot of what he said. It's like, I think he wants to smack Michael, too.
Yeah,
I appreciated that.
Right before that, Alex said to him, like, oh, you've always been looking for a reason to say that you're not worth it, or you've always been looking, right? He said something to Michael, like, you've always been looking for an excuse to say that you're not, that you're a bad person, and now you have it, so you're just, like, doing it, right? So
yeah,
I like that. And then he says, if you're your father, I'm my father, and that's when, you know, Mike's like, no, you're not, and he's like, well, you can. Yeah, so, yeah, I really like that. I agree with you. That was really good. And for Alex to be the more interesting character is surprising.
Yeah, what I said. It's like I'm interested in Alex this week. Before I was, and still mostly seem to care about Kyle. He's the only one that seems to be, like, less maladjusted, I guess, than all, as much as he has issues too. And he finally tells Liz and Max both off, which they needed. He's like, you know, don't put me in the middle of it. It's not fair. You need to talk to each other and leave me out of it. And he should have said that a long time ago. So I also did appreciate that. But mostly the stuff with Max and Liz and with the alien part of it, it's not working this season for me at all, really. So
And adding a new Maine's brother has not worked for me because he's the most boring main. Like, Gregory, I guess he's supposed to be the nice, stable guy, but he's kind of boring, and they're trying to put him with Maria, and Maria would never go for that guy. I mean, Maria likes the bad boy. Maria, like,
last season. So I think it depends where they go with it, but right now he hasn't really done anything. Although there was the story, I can't remember if he was involved in this or not, but I was going to say they did have the bit about the racist guys, I forgot about that. I was just going to mention
Wyatt, right?
Yeah, and Wyatt, like, is like, told them, they're like, what side are you on? He's like, basically said something like the one who's not being an asshole. I can't remember exactly what he said.
He goes, I'm on the side of not being an ass.
Yeah, something like that. I think
that
character was there when that, I can't remember for sure. And I also liked that Michael was, like, totally going to stop them from hurting that guy too. Like, I don't know that he so much cared about using his powers, but I did like that Michael was going to, like, stick up for that guy, you know?
I liked I liked it that Michael was going to, like, defend a person, but I also, like, is it part of Michael, like, did he want to get beat up a little
just
bit
more
also, right?
Anybody,
because he's
on.
So self-destructive. Yeah.
Yeah, he needed somebody to hit or whatever.
So, talk about characters who are not main characters being more interesting. Wyatt is, like, not a main character, and he's almost kind of like a waste of time, except we talked last week, is he going to be a love interest for Rosa? But the idea that he totally forgot he's a racist and that he hates Rosa because of the car accident, that he forgot all of it, and he's, like, a much nicer person with amnesia, I assume he'll get his memory back at some point, right?
Maybe.
Will he remember that he's a racist, or will he remember all of it and be like, wow, I was a happier person when I wasn't a racist? Like, where is that going to go, right?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I don't know. Yeah. I'd say Kyle is the best character on the show right now. And when he saw that, when he pulls out a business, remember he said he got a job offer, like last week he said he got a job offer in New York and turned it down?
Yeah, in New York or whatever.
And after he argues with both Liz and Max, he pulls it out and he gets the phone number, and I was like, yes, do it, move away, like, do it, Kyle. Like,
yeah, but
then
there
might
not be a good than any show to watch left.
I know. But, like, for Kyle, that would be, like, the healthiest thing he could do is get the hell away from these people,
no,
right?
Yeah, it would be. I agree.
Yeah. It was a little – look, this is, we don't watch this because it's a good show, right? We watch it, like, because it's on. And because now we're in the third season, we're kind of into it. But we don't watch it for, like – but, yeah, Mr. Jones is, like, he's annoying because it's predictable. And it's
predictable is his name, right?
Well, yeah, and the only thing different, the only thing that's not the same as Noah is that Noah was more overtly evil, a total jerk, and Noah didn't look like any of them, right? But Noah was, like, also an alien and, like, evil and knew stuff about their parents but wouldn't tell them, and it's, like, almost exactly the same story. So you're totally, I hadn't even thought about it, but you're right, like, putting Max in the cage, like, pretty much the next day, Michael and Isabel will come there and let him out, right? So, Yeah. Like, there's not much time for Jones to wreak havoc.
Yeah. The only thing, the only thing good I can say about the main characters this week is that at least Liz seems to finally realize she was wrong, because she seemed to not gotten that until now. That, like,
yeah,
she
until Kyle lectured her.
Yeah, and he's finally like, you know, it's not like there's a price. You know, you can't just do anything to get what you want, whether it's to help people or not. You can't do that. I mean, you can do that, but that's what happens. There's consequences, you know. So
yeah, it was, and I was glad to have the little bit of exposition there, because I'd kind of, like, forgotten about it a little bit, how, like she took Max's DNA without asking, and then he told her to stop experimenting, and she kept doing it anyway.
And she's still trying to find remnants of it. So she...
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
You're right.
And her sister
told her
off, too. I like that her sister was like, well, you feel that way about him, and he probably feels the same way about you, because you did it,
yeah,
too, you know? So
yeah. So this fire was 1 year ago, and she goes in there, and there's still, like, a bit of flesh to scrape off the shelf or whatever that was, right? She finds, like, a metal tray. And she's like, oh, look, here's a bit of, like, heart that I can scrape up. And I was like, wait, it's been a year. It's been a year, and nobody's done it. So, but whatever. I guess the point was that.
It was bacteria. I don't know.
Well,
whatever,
yeah,
it is,
and I guess the point, it's been a year, but the point the new boyfriend made, whatever his name is, like 2 weeks ago, he was like, well, they used prehistoric, like, bacteria to make this rum. So I guess 1 year old, like, obviously they weren't fresh either if they were prehistoric. So I guess, like, 1 year old, like, bits of whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously going to work because Max is going to die.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
TV.
Well, I think she's
yeah,
doing that for Maria, though, not for Max. But yeah.
Yeah, she's doing it for Maria,
she's
because Maria is really
well,
in much worse.
Step for Max, but it's supposed to be for Maria,
yeah.
Yeah. Or at least that's what she said.
Oh,
yeah,
so speaking of Maria and the visions and the funeral, I felt like this week was a huge misdirect. Like, I feel like Michael being like, it's me, it's definitely me. There were sunflowers that are growing on my farm. There's a song that my friend always sings. There's this, like, everything they said, Michael was like, it's me, I'm the one who's going to die. And I was like, okay, so obviously he's not the one. Like, there's no way it's him, right? The show is not going to
mm-hmm.
telegraph that, obviously. So, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think we can really cross... Well, we can cross it out being Michael, Max, or Isabel, like any of the main
or
characters,
Isabel.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think it's any of the
Or if it is... if it is, I mean, it gets averted in the next... So we had this scene where Maria thought it was snow that she saw, but it turns out it's ash.
Ash, yeah.
That was interesting because they kept mentioning, like, the fires, and I was like, oh, okay, this is really timely because there are fires burning across the West right now, right?
Yeah.
How timely is this? But then it turns out it's actually a major plot point that it's not snow, it's ash, which means the murder is going to occur, like, this
yeah,
like soon, right? This very night on the show
mm-hmm.
or within the next, like, couple days while the ash is coming down. I think it's definitely not Michael. I just think it's too – oh, my God, I just had a power failure in my house.
You just had what?
All the power just went out in my house. Like, all the lights went out. The air conditioning went off. I just had a power failure in my house.
Well, at least you have a cell phone instead of a regular phone, or you might lose it. But
yeah. In fact, it's the entire street, and the street lights are out, and the church across the street. So this is so I won't belabor this, but this is weird because I live, like, one block from a hospital, and our power never ever goes out. And I always attribute it to
but
the
it's
hospital,
not a storm. You're okay then. I was going to say, because it was storm.
No, it's not a storm. It's not nothing. The power just went out for no apparent
reason.
Somebody
probably hit something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put you on speakerphone. 1 second. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Hang on. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
I just put you on speaker so I can light some candles.
Okay.
That's all.
okay.
That's all.
Well, I don't know
so anyway,
too much about Roswell. I think we covered.
If not, I think we about covered, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
I just wanted to mention a couple things before I went. The first thing I want to mention, because I saw it here on the website when I was looking up the episodes for that thing, is that that show What If starts on Disney tomorrow.
Oh, Marvel.
Well,
Marvel's
What If. Tonight or tomorrow night. Yeah, I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow night, because it says the 11th, so it might be tonight at 3. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. I thought that was interesting, but then I found out that Benedict ain't doing the voice, so I don't know how much I care. I'm kind of like, oh, man, that really sucks. That was my main comment is shit. No, I had read that before. I had forgotten about it, but I seen it. I seen him in the preview, and I'm like, oh, wait. So that really, I guess there's a lot of them that aren't and some of them that are, so. But
yeah,
I don't know.
A lot
it's
of them aren't.
Interesting. I'll probably watch it. So that's coming up. Like I said, I'm not sure. It says the 11th. I'm not sure if that means it's tonight at midnight Pacific or tomorrow at midnight Pacific. But anyway, that's coming up.
It'll be tonight at 3 a.m. our time.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured. I don't know if I'm going to wait for it or not, but I'll probably watch it. The other thing that I was going to mention, just because I did watch them, they're not out yet, but because I did the Hulu TCAs, there's two shows coming. One is called Only Murders in the Building, which is with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. It's I thought it was going to be like silly, but it isn't. It's like a murder mystery, but it's also funny. I really, really like that. That was really good. And the other one that I thought was really good was not was Nine Strangers. Nine Perfect Strangers. I'm sorry, I had the wrong title. Nine Perfect Strangers. With Nicole Kidman, with McCarthy, there's a lot of people in it. That's kind of thrillery. I don't know. It's really good too. I really liked both of those shows. The other show wasn't really my type of show, but those two I really liked. So, I don't know. You guys don't watch comedies either, so you may not necessarily like the other one. But the Nine Perfect Strangers, I think you guys would probably like. It's different. It's interesting. But that's not for a while. But that's for a little. And that's about it. I don't think there's anything else that I've seen. I still need to watch the other Marvel shows. But, yeah. Okay. Well, you guys have your other shows to talk about, so I'm going to get going. Have a good night, and I will talk to you next week.
Okay.
Talk to you later,
Jamie. Okay. Have a good night, both of you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And then there were two.
So we have to. We're going to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right? Tonight.
Right. You want to do AHS first?
And American Horror Story. Yeah. Sorry, I was a little distracted. I'm just like collecting candles around my house right now. Yeah, let's do American Horror Stories first. That'll be great.
So this one was Ball.
Oh, yeah, with the baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like this one.
I like this one, too, for a couple of reasons. There was, like, a bunch of So it actually was kind of scary, and maybe, you know, it was maybe the scariest one we've seen so far. This is what, episode 4? 5?
4.
And I thought it was a little scarier.
5.
5, right? I thought it was scarier than some of what we've seen, but, you know, I'm always scared by, like, demons, so. Did you think it was generally scarier?
I thought it was the best one so far. Like, the first two episodes, the murder house was fun. It was kind of nostalgic. This one just was, like, I thought a really well-played-out story. Because, like, you know, the whole time, it was convincing, you know. And it's funny, for me, I caught on to two things, actually. It's funny. I don't know, I doubt you ever watched Ash vs. the Evil Dead, but the first season of Ash vs. the Evil Dead, the villain is Ball. So immediately I thought about that.
Oh, huh.
The second thing I thought about was it reminded me of Coven.
Of who?
So
of Coven,
that
yeah.
Was,
yeah.
Hey, Coven.
All right, it kind of did.
It was very...
Yeah.
it reminded me of Coven because, remember, Cordelia's character, she couldn't have kids either, and they tried all kinds of different magical witchy stuff, you know. So it kind of reminded me of that. And being in the same universe, I'm sure there was some kind of loose connection that what's-his-face there was going for. Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, and as you know, I watched a lot of this stuff with Artie, and it was so funny because when she was in the loony bin, and he's sitting there talking to her, and I said, you know, I was like, it makes no sense that I feel this way, but I feel like somehow this is something he's up to, and he's banging that secretary. And I was like,
yeah.
I'm probably just, you know, I'm just looking for something. And then literally that next scene, or I look down for a second, Artie goes, ooh, ooh. And I look up, and I was like, oh, my God, I was right.
Yeah. That was, I mean, that was kind of, that it was well done because there was like a twist and then a twist, right? Which I liked
yeah.
also. The twist and then the twist was kind of a fun, yeah, I thought it was scary, you know, well, you know, I don't like all this demon stuff and whatever, so I thought it was kind of scary. And, you know, just like that creepy little thing she has under her bed and why is this not working? Like that statue was creepy and then it changes and it looks different, right? That's even creepier. It just, the whole thing gets a little, I mean, I love Billy. It was nice to see Billy Lord back.
Yeah.
And then like, I mean, I thought they did a really good job with like the part where now I don't have any babies, but like the baby's crying and crying and crying and crying and it won't stop. And it like gets worse and worse. And like I thought Billy Lord did a really good job of portraying like this mother at her wit's end who just can't get the baby to stop crying and is so unhappy. I mean, I don't know if any of your babies ever were like that and just, like, wouldn't stop and you, like, felt like, you know, exhausted. Like, to me, that was just really well done and added, like, it added that element of desperation even before she starts to get, like, you know, haunted by a demon or whatever. That element of desperation I thought was, like, really well done there. I liked that a lot. I love the twist where it's the husband and he's, like, done this big elaborate thing. God, what a horrible, horrible person, right? But then in the end, there's another twist in the end where Billy Ward, like, gets, you know, she gets the last laugh. He goes to jail. She won't help him. I don't know how you feel about the last bit where the very last bit where she actually, although Bernadette tried to give her a fake spell, spell to get rid of him, she accidentally gave her a real spell, that put her in control of him.
Yeah. Like, it was so funny because, I knew there was going to be another twist, you know, about it. Like, you know, they were, you know, there was a ploy the whole time and it was going to turn out that it was actually, you know, someone that was actually real and, you know, whatnot and everything. I was slightly surprised that she actually conjured him and could control him, which I thought was kind of cool. But I thought the funniest part for me, though, and it kind of made it comical, was when, you know, she goes back to the house and Ball's like, release me. And I was like, this demon sounds so desperate. Like, and she's just like, and then, I don't know, that last little bit where she's like, give me another baby. And I was like, come on. I was like,
maybe it doesn't ring true because she had such a bad experience having a baby. Like, it doesn't seem like she would actually maybe want to have a baby, right? Like, it was not a good experience with that baby. He was very, he cried nonstop and and he was miserable, and it wasn't because he was possessed, right? He was just unhappy.
Right.
Like, it's not.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and I think part of that though is because she was so stressed because, you know, they say that, you know, babies, they pick up on, you know, your senses because,
yeah,
you know, babies at that age, they attune themselves to their surroundings because they can't communicate any other way. So I think with all, you know, everything they were doing to her, making her, like, you know, basically lose her friggin' mind,
mm-hmm.
I think it was just one of those things where it just worked, you know, kind of worked out for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really, so it's a little interesting that this is the, this is the only episode nobody gets murdered. Oh, no, a whole bunch of people get murdered. Who am I kidding? Like, everybody gets killed in the last scene. Like,
yeah, I was
going to
say, all
like,
his friends.
Right? All of his friends get killed. I guess maybe, that was a little, that was great because they got their comeuppance, right? Like,
yeah.
People deserve to be killed. Or did they deserve to be killed? I don't know. People deserve to be killed? I don't know. But it was pretty, satisfying to see them all be killed, right? So,
yes, it was very satisfying.
Yeah. So I don't know why I'm saying nobody got killed, but I guess it wasn't the scariest and bloodiest one we've ever seen.
No, and I think you know, you momentarily forgot about the people that died because it literally happened in the last act, you know?
Yeah.
Up to that point, it wasn't, you know. The one thing that it kept bothering me and Artie was, why does she still have the figurine? Why didn't she throw that shit out?
I know. The first time she put it in the shoebox back up, she's like, oh, I forgot about you, which is ridiculous because there's no way she forgot about it. Like, she put it under the bed in the hopes of getting pregnant. Like, I just don't believe she would have forgotten about it and not been like, this is totally why I got pregnant, right? Didn't make any sense. But then, like, this creepy thing looks different and is scaring you, and you're like, oh, they put it in my closet, right? And then when the maid is like, I'm not working in this house with that thing here, and then you still keep it, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but that's typical horror movie kind of behavior.
Yeah.
To not do what you need to do.
You know what I thought was also really great was her, Liv was Billy Lord's character. Liv's transition through the entire episode, I don't know if I'm catching things like this I've evolved with catching on to things or what, but did you notice the color tones of the entire episode? Liv was very grayed out the whole time. And she just looked very downtrodden and everything. And that the dinner party scene, I even said to Artie during the dinner party scene, I'm like, do you notice the colors? How there's the lack of color? Like, everybody was dressed in, like, this white or very pale beige color. And you know, and even the lighting in that scene when they were playing with the Ouija
and the
board.
The house is entirely decorated in white, right? It's like an entirely white house.
Yeah.
And she mostly wears, they all wear like white, she wears white clothing through most of it, right? Or right, white, shades of gray, shades of white, like it's all,
yeah,
I never thought about
very,
it until you
just
said it.
Light. Yeah, and the only reason I caught on to it was that scene with the Ouija board, because his friends were like all wearing the same color, and I was just like, what the hell? I'm like, I was like, that's, you know, so then I kind of picked up on it a little bit more, but I love her transition because she, through the whole thing, she looks very downtrodden. And then at the end, when he's in prison, she looks magnificent. Like, she looks incredible. Because, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because she's got the upper hand now. So, now, you know? So, I like the way
she's
they did that.
Him. Yeah. Yeah, it was well shot. I mean, it always is well shot, right? High production value. But, yeah, I like this one. It gave me a little more, so I'm not sure that I'm 100% in love with this show. First of all, like, the fact that it even exists when it didn't, like, it's great, it's a nice Electra thing we get, but and like not having a whole season long story. I don't know. Sometimes the season long story is too long. But I wasn't like, I guess Christmas and the one before the movie theater one, they're, I don't know, they're fine, but this one, yeah, it was definitely the best, as you say, that we've seen so far, and it just helped me to really, like,
yeah.
There were a lot of things about this episode that reminded me of, like, why I like the series, mostly, like the series.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's kind of in the vein of, you know, like, Twilight Zone, where you're not going to love every episode.
Yeah.
Some episodes are going to be better than the others, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's that type of.
That's a good point. That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
That's a really good comparison. I hadn't thought of it that way, but the Twilight Zone is a good match for it.
Yeah, definitely enjoyed this one, though, so.
Yeah.
We'll see what next week brings us.
See what next week brings, yeah. So, okay. So, I guess that's all we have. So, that'll bring us to...
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier, yeah. Okay. So, if I was going to rank the three MCU series that we've seen, this would be number three for me, right? I'd say Loki, Wanda, and then this one. I think, look, there's some things to like, so I don't want to, like, drag on it entirely, but it definitely... had some pacing problems and some character problems and some writing problems in the show, and a real villain problem, I think, on the show. Like the worst villain I've ever seen in any, maybe, Marvel ever. Like, these, what are they called, the Flag Smashers? They're worse than, like...
Yes.
I mean, that guy in Thor with the blue hair. What's the guy who plays him? The guy who was the fly.
I know who you mean. I can't think of it. Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, Jeff Goldblum was better than the Flag Smashers, right? The Flag Smashers are the worst villain. They're just, like, supposed to, like, we'll get to them. But I thought the villains were a real problem also. And all the villains were a problem. Like, Zemo was a problem, and Power Broker was a problem. They're all a problem. But anyway, I mean, there were some things to like about it. I didn't hate the whole thing. I watched the whole thing. There were some elements of a really good story here, but there were a bunch of problems, I thought. Do you disagree?
Yes and no. I did have a couple problems. I enjoyed most of it. I mentioned in code the one night when Jamie was here. The Flag Smashers to me they're very reminiscent of Liberate from Continuum, whereas I agree with what they're fighting for. The problem is the way they're going about it. You know, they completely got screwed over when everybody came back from the blip, you know?
But did they? That wasn't really ever clear about how or why they got screwed over. Like, because
the people who came back to life wanted their
houses back? I don't get it. They were squatting in these people's house. Like, why did it hurt them for people to come back? It was never really clear.
They were basically the refugees, basically, and you know, because I mean, because of the blip. I mean, the
they came back. There are people who came back.
No, but it's two sides. The when the blip happened, I mean, for one, it caused a lot of anarchy when the blip took place in the first place. Because companies went under,
50%.
Because there was no worker, there was no workers or anything. Like, these people, the people that were left stepped up and, you know, and got things, you know, kept things going and everything. And then all these people came back and these people were like, we don't need you anymore. Go away. You know, it'd be like, all right, kind of like, all right, as an example, all right, a company goes on strike, you know, and, like, you know, pick something big, like Con Ed goes on strike, and they hire all these scabs. So all these people go to work to keep the power on, you know, while the actual workers are on strike. The strike workers come to an agreement, they get paid or whatever their complaint is, and now all those people that have been standing in this whole time now have to find new jobs because they're, you know, the people that were there before are coming back. And but this is on a, you know,
right.
That's just the closest comparison I can think of. This is on a global scale. And all these people that help the world keep spinning after the blip, because think about it. You figure how many, there's what, a couple billion people on the planet? Now you cut that in half. Now there's a couple, you know, there's like, for argument's sake, there's a billion people on the planet. Now there's 500,000 people on the planet, okay? Those 500,000
yeah.
people, or 500 million people, kept the country going, it kept the world going, and now the other half that, you know, are back, and it's like, thanks for what you did while you were, you know, while everybody else was gone for the last 5 years, go screw yourself. Find something else to do. Because these people wanted
yeah.
to go back to what they were doing. You know?
Yeah.
And the governments didn't, you know, and it was the governments doing these things, you know? And these people were like, listen, okay, we get it, but we got to work something out. You know, we need, you got to give us something. We, you know, we've been here the whole time. You know, for the last five
right.
years, we've been dealing with the fallout of this, and you're just basically telling us, go live in a cardboard box now, you know, and go stand on the corner
and
beg for change.
And, okay, to your point, the MCU didn't really ever do a good job or care that much about showing us what the blip meant, right? The blip is not just like, so actually, if you look at a show like The Leftovers, in The Leftovers, I think only 2% of the population disappears, and like the whole show is about how sad everybody is and how life is ruined for everyone, right? And so in Endgame, or Infinity War, I guess, 50% of all people on the planet disappear. And then
right.
and then they blip back 5 years later. And so to your point, like there's never really any good explanation of what that meant. So thank you for putting that perspective. I do still feel like the Flag Smashers, who have the dumbest name ever of any villain ever.
Well,
I don't.
They are taken right out of the comics.
Okay, all right. Dumb name in the comics. I don't think that they. I mean, I don't think that their objective is as clear as Liberate. Like in Continuum, Liberate has a very clear,
right.
you know, complaint, and it's about corporate control of life, which is very clear in the show what that means. And I think that they were just kind of anti-everything in this show. They were actually like this sort of like, I think they're like a Fox News vision of what wokeism is. And they're like, oh, because they're like stealing, you know, right? They're like so bad for like, you know, they're stealing. They're like want better lives for people, and they're like, oh, this is like liberal wokeism, Antifa, whatever, blah blah kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the show did a bad job of conveying what I just feel like I poorly conveyed.
Yeah.
But at least
yes.
apparently
no,
you can understand
it in the show.
Because even Sam at one point, you know, when he's trying to get them to stop, he keeps telling him, he's like, you know, he goes, what they did to you was wrong. He's like, but there's a better way than what you're doing. So, like, they tried
yeah.
to use Sam, I think, to get it across, and it was a little lacking. I think I just picked up on it better.
Yeah. I think you did. Here's the other thing. That they weren't well-developed personalities. Like, Carly is the leader, and she was not a charismatic villain. Like, and I don't maybe mean to blame the actress. I blame the director.
No, I was definitely the writer.
The director and the writer. Like, they're non-charismatic villains. They're just sort of generic. Like, Carly could, like, I only, like, they were very interchangeable with anyone. They didn't really give her a good, I didn't see a good reason why she was a leader versus any other of the rest of them. They're all super, like, then they get the super, like, the whole thing where they're super soldiers also, like, kind of makes no sense. Like, I get it. They got, like, I get it, but I don't get it because, like, it doesn't really, so they have this ideology and they're, you know, they're, we can call them terrorists or whatever we want to call them, right? And then they happen to also get the super soldier serum, and that makes them more that makes them very powerful, right? But they're still, like, boring, interchangeable characters. Like they were hard to understand, and I couldn't really get up a good hate going for them because they weren't, right? Maybe because I didn't understand their philosophy, but also because they were just blah, all of them, right? Like, even, like, they didn't give her a good speech. They didn't give her a lot of passion. Like, I didn't see passion in her, right? And I didn't see, like, villainy in her, which you need to see in order for us to, and I guess they were supposed to be a complex villain that we shouldn't hate, but because really the major problem was Captain America, right? He is a dick. Like, he was the worst. And was he supposed to be the worst, or did they do it wrong?
They kind of did it wrong. Like, before we move on to John Walker, before we move on to him, I agree about Carly. I felt like that was the one thing I was disappointed with her character because I felt they didn't flesh her out enough.
Yeah, they didn't.
And she was too one-dimensional for the character that she should have been.
Yep. Are they from the comic book?
So, yeah. Carly in the comics is actually a man. His name is Carl.
Carl?
So
okay.
They made her a woman for this, which is fine, whatever. But they didn't flesh her out enough. They didn't, you know, get, you know, really... You're right. She was very non-committed with her emotions. She was kind of all over the place, and that was one thing that I had commented to Artie when we were watching it, that I didn't like her specifically because she's the leader, and yet I don't feel any leadership from her other than just shouting at people, telling them what to do.
Yeah.
John Walker is problematic. I'm hoping in the future, because, I mean, you know, that's the problem. I think they tried to pack, you know, they probably try to pack so much into 6 episodes. You kind of lose some of it along the way. I wish they had spent more time with John because he's not a bad guy. He's actually a really good guy. I mean, he was chosen to be the new Captain America because of the person he is. I mean, he's, you know, fought in a bunch of different wars and everything. He's you know, saved, you know, lives and everything. He's been commendated multiple times, and he's actually a really good guy. He does have a bit of a chip on his shoulder, but it's usually – results in him running headfirst into something that he should stop and think about a little more. And something they haven't done a good job, if you haven't seen the first Captain America, which I know you have, but something that they need to remind people about the Super Soldier Serum is that it possibly could make you go nuts. Like, if you know, like, this is, like, they kind of briefly said something about it in the show, but I feel like they didn't spend enough time on it because it was kind of a throwaway line. And that's kind of what happens to John at the end when he does take the serum, you know, shoots himself up with a serum. He kind of loses his shit and then ends up killing that guy on national television.
So I agree with that. Maybe it's because I've seen Captain America or maybe because it was just clear to me in the show, but it was very clear that after he takes the serum, he becomes a very aggressive dickhead, more so than before. But I thought he was a jerk before. I mean, you say that he has a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, he was absolutely a jerk before.
But he was a total arrogant jerk, right?
I feel like it was too... I felt like it was too over the top, personally.
And he was, like, trying to what to do and be like, you guys should be helping. Like, Sam was an Avenger, and he's like, oh, you should be helping me because I'm Captain America. Like, you own the shield because Sam gave it to you. To me, he was very unlikable, and so that when he like, took the serum and becomes, like, a changed person, I had no sympathy for him. And I was outraged at the end of it when he basically gets away with it all, and they're like, oh, the others were not court-martialing you because of your stellar career as a soldier. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? What? No. Like, I was really, really frustrated at the end of it.
They went too far making him a jerk. I mean, as far as, you know, what happened after he took the serum, that can be explained away that, you know, the serum is what made him really lose it. The fact that they made him a complete and total jerk, I felt like it was too far over the top. And because we didn't have more time with him, you know, he wasn't really focused on enough, I feel. You don't know who he is. You're told who he is. You don't see who he is. And when you're told who somebody is as opposed to seeing who somebody is, and then they act like the way he was acting, you think that's just who he is. You know? I don't know if I – and I definitely felt like – because I know who he is in the comics, and he's just – it was just – I felt like it was just too far over the top with him, you know?
Yeah. And the way it ends, where he's, like, disgraced and fired, basically, from – I mean, he just gets fired from being Captain America, which I think – he murdered a man in cold blood on national television, and they let him walk. And I'm like, wait, he doesn't get court-martialed. The German authorities aren't going to – like, it happened in Germany, right? They're not – like, there's no criminal repercussions for what he's done, which was a murder, right? Like, what we saw was a murder, right? It was kind of like what – we see in America where, like, if Captain America is a cop, kills a man when he doesn't have to, and then he gets away with it, right? And there's not even any, all he does is come before, like, this tribunal, whatever it was, was it Congress, was the military, it's not even clear who it is that he's brought before, and they're like, well, because you are such a great soldier before, we're not going to, like, do anything to you, even though you murdered a guy on international television.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
It was also kind of in the vein of, and since the guy was a terrorist, it's okay, type of thing, which it's not.
And then at the end when Countess Val or whatever she's called, Madame Val comes to him and like gives him a business card and says, "Oh, I have a I'm going to call you. And it's going to be great and work for me." If you don't read the comic books, but you only watch this, it seems clear that this is part of phase 4 of the MCU and that he's going to be a character going forward. And I don't know if he'll be a good guy or a bad guy, but what I saw of him being such a jerk for 6 episodes or however many he was in, it would be very difficult for me to see him as a hero moving forward. Like they've set it up for me to not like him. So I hope he's going to be a villain and not a hero because he's a dick. And I don't want to, you know, he's an asshole. And I don't want to really root for him going forward. He was very unlikable from the start. Even the first scene where he gets made Captain America, he's pretty arrogant and full of himself in a way that he shouldn't be, right?
Yeah. They definitely went over the top with it.
Yeah.
What's funny is, His friend was much more likable, and that's how John should have been.
Lamar, his name was Lamar, I think. Lamar, was that his name?
Yeah, Lamar, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Star, I forget a code name, Star something, I forget.
Not Star-Lord, but Star, yeah. And he didn't get the serum. He has no powers, right? In fact, they have a conversation where
– Yeah.
What's his name? Steve? What now? John Walker? John's like, oh, if you could get the serum, would you take it? It would be bad. And Lamar's like, I would take it for sure, right? And he, you know, and then Lamar's death is what. If we look at, so we should talk about Bucky anyway, but if we look at Steve and Bucky and the way Steve reacted when Bucky was killed versus the way John reacts when Lamar is killed are two very different, well, one's a hero and one's not,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what makes Steve
yeah.
a hero in some ways, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what, and that's actually the perfect thing. I mean, because obviously looking at John, you're thinking about Steve and how Steve is, and you're seeing John, and you're like, this guy's a total tool. I mean, Steve never would have,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
yeah.
and that but that leads to my point. You see Steve, you know, when the first Captain America movie, and you get the, you know, you get the origin, you see Steve before he's even Captain America. You see who
yeah.
he is, you know. As opposed to being told who he is, like we were with John. What we see of
yeah.
John is after the fact, and that's, you know, why I feel they failed with that. I feel like if they had led up to it a little more, like they introduced John before handing him the shield, I think he's a little more sympathetic,
right.
but the way they did it, he's not.
Because, I mean, we saw very little of Steve, but we did see some of Steve before he took the serum, you're right. John, we just seen
yeah.
him be named, and you're right.
Yeah.
So he's actually not the main character, right? It's called the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And so it's really about Sam and Bucky. So I have some issues with all of this. Also, I mean, I think there was a good story here. Like, the story of the first Black Captain America should be an amazing show, right? And they did some good stuff. Part of my problem is, I think Bucky is the most boring character in the entire MCU.
Really?
And, I mean, on paper he's a good guy, but Bucky's another guy who has, like, no charisma. Okay, partly because most of the time we see him, he's under mind control and he's basically a robot, so he's not got a lot of personality, right? in the previous, all these previous movies. This is like the first time we really get to see, it's not the first time, we've seen, I mean, Bucky's been out of mind control for a while, right? But Bucky is, he's kind of stiff. Like, Bucky is not the most developed. I don't want to blame Sebastian, so I haven't seen Sebastian Stan in a lot of other stuff. So, like, again, I don't want to go right to blaming the actor for not having charisma. I want to blame the directors and the writers, maybe, for not making Bucky a more compelling person, particularly in the show. Like, Bucky's a guy who did a lot of really bad shit, and, like, the premise here is that he's really guilty about it, and he's lurking around, what's the guy's name, he's lurking around this guy and his daughter, because he's guilt-stricken that he killed the son, right? They can't bring himself
right.
to say it. He's kind of, and he's in therapy, which is hilarious. It's actually kind of hilarious that he's in court-ordered therapy from the show.
Yeah.
I did like that, but I just find Bucky to be a pretty blah character in the MCU. Like, when
see,
did
I like
ever have a really good...
Sell me
on Bucky.
All right. Well, like you said, he has a lot of guilt because even when he was under mind control, he always knew what he was doing. He remembers it all. He just couldn't do anything to stop himself. I mean, that's...
Angel? He's Angel, basically, is what you're telling me.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But,
in a
right?
way, yes. Not quite, but yeah. All right, good. That's a decent comparison.
Okay.
But there are times when he's not thinking about all the shit he's done that he, you know, like when him and that little montage with him, you know, when he shows up to help Sam with the boat and everything, he even flirted with Sam's sister and Sam was like, So he has his moments and, you know, and the interaction
yeah, okay.
between the two of them is always pretty funny. But I mean, Bucky just has a lot of baggage. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You know, and again, you're probably right, though. I mean, I'm sure, you know, the direction he probably got was Bucky has a lot of baggage. He's, you know, trying to, you know, right some of the wrongs he did. Play it like, you know, don't have fun, but don't have too much fun because he's, you know, really sad, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I get that. So, I think it's... So in some ways it's clear that he does have a full memory and guilt because he's in therapy. In other ways, I feel like it has not always been clear in the MCU, in the previous movies, that he remembers it and that he wishes he hadn't done it. I don't know. I just find him, I wish they'd give him a little more, even in, I have to think back to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. He was still under mind control then, and he was more of a robot then, right? I mean, he wasn't a robot, but you know what I mean. He was controlled.
Yeah, he was completely under mind control.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess, yeah. All right, so I'll back off on my Bucky hate.
We'll have to see what kind of personality he has in Black Panther 2. Because he's going to be in that.
Oh, he is. Well, because he like comes and goes from Wakanda now, it seems, right? Like you've seen him in Wakanda a lot, and it is he who brings the Captain America, the new suit from Wakanda, right? And then,
yep.
All right, so I guess this brings us to Sam, really. And the main story is like, you know, the story of Sam becoming the new Captain America, and how Sam, like, he turns down the shield because he doesn't feel like, I mean, I guess he doesn't feel, is it that he doesn't feel worthy to follow in the steps of Steve, or he thinks that America won't accept a black Captain America, right? Steve gives him the shield.
Yeah. But I think he feels he's not worthy. That's how I saw it, at least.
Yeah, okay. So do you think, I thought he was wrong to pass it, to give it away, to turn it in.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, I thought he was wrong, just because I'm like, well, Steve gave it to you. This is what Steve wanted, and you're not going by Steve's wishes. Like Steve knows best,
which is
what Steve wanted.
Which is what Bucky kept telling him.
Yeah. And it clearly, you know, it is a mistake, I guess. But I think there is this whole undertone of, like, so he feels not worthy, maybe just that because Sam Wilson is not worthy and is not Steve Rogers, but, like, there is this whole element of the show, like, about what it means for a black man to become Captain America, and, like, Sam is sort of, like, I mean... Sam is sort of struggling with that, I think, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to... I mean, it's... let's face it. This is like a surface... This is a Marvel show. It's not like it's a deep examination of racism in America. it's just a Marvel show. So it's not like that heavy of an examination of it, but I think that that's there, right? For Sam the whole time.
Oh, yeah,
and in a bunch of different ways.
Especially since Bucky introduces him to... Oh, crap. I can't remember his name. The first actual black Captain America.
Carl Lumbly is the actor who plays him. And is it Isaiah? Is his name Isaiah, I think, right?
Yes, Isaiah.
Isaac Isaiah, right? Yeah.
Isaiah Hamilton.
Bradley. Isaiah Bradley. I just looked it up.
Bradley. Why did I think it was Hamilton? Okay. Bradley.
I don't know.
It was wild.
By the way, shout out. That takes place in Baltimore. Isaiah lives in Baltimore, and that's an actual shot of Baltimore, I believe, that they show. So those were some of the... I mean, those were the best scenes of the whole show, maybe, I thought. Carl Lumbly scenes. We know he's a fantastic actor, and he does an amazing job in these scenes. And the story that he tells is heartbreaking, right?
Yeah.
and I guess it really, like, brings that much more weight onto Sam for, like, I could see in both ways, like, it makes Sam think it was the right decision to turn it down the shield, and it was the wrong decision to turn down the shield. Like, you could look at what happened to Isaiah as an argument on both sides of it, maybe, right?
Right.
Because,
yeah, it definitely kind of put it in perspective for Sam.
I mean, it's horrible. So it turns out that Isaiah, he was the first super soldier, right? Or he's the first person that survived the super soldier serum. Is that it? I think.
Yeah.
Like they were experimenting on a lot of people.
He was the second. After Steve disappeared, he was the second. He was the only one.
Okay.
He was the only one they tried to make. After Steve disappeared, they tried to make more Captain Americas, and Isaiah was the only one that survived the injections.
Because Steve disappeared, it was still like the 40s when Steve disappeared, right?
Yeah.
And Isaiah is a Vietnam vet, I think they mention in the show, right? So he's the first person who survived, and then he mentions that they continued to, like, poke and prod and experiment and they continued to, like, you know, I mean, it really was like state-sponsored abuse or torture, right?
Yeah.
He was, like, basically tortured. He wasn't, like, made, they weren't like, oh, guess what, we have a new super soldier, let's make him the new Captain America. Like, oh, no, let's make him a lab rat, which is, like, crazy, right? Like, Steve, when they had Steve, all the serum was destroyed and Steve was the only one, and they make him Captain America. When they have Isaiah, they you know, they torture him. He was great. I thought that was really a highlight of it in a show that doesn't really maybe go that much deeper. Like, there's that, you remember there's the scene where I guess it's when they go to Baltimore and they're parked in the street and this cop, like, pulls them over and is like, what are you doing here? And is, like, giving Sam a hard time. And then Bucky's like, you know, there's this weird thing they do where it's like a white man's, like, you see that Bucky a little bit realizes what's going on. And I was like, that's weird because we don't really need to see the white man's, you know, realization. No, but then the guy's like, oh, you're Sam, what's your name? Sam, I want to say Walker. His name is Sam. Whatever Sam's last name is. The cop's like, you're Sam Wilson. You're an Avenger. Oh, I'm so sorry I pulled you over. Can I take your picture? And then Sam has to be Mr. Nice Guy and be, you know, I was like, wow, that was really horrible. Like, this guy is like this racist jerk. This guy pulls you over because you're driving while black. And then because you're a celebrity, he's like, let me have a picture with you. Those were good, but, I mean, in general, it's Marvel. We don't want an in-depth exploration of racism for Marvel. It was pretty good. So other than that, I guess it's really like Sam's journey to accepting the
shield.
The shield.
Yeah.
And there's this whole, we got to go through this whole, like, extra villain thing with Zemo and Sharon and all that stuff going on. So what do you think of all that part of it?
So Sharon, you know, it's funny, actually, because I suspected that she was the power broker before the reveal. Like, from the minute they run into her, and after the whole hide and seek with the storage containers, and when she when they split up, and she says to her assistant, she's like, "We've got a big problem." I'm like, "Sharon's the friggin' power broker."
Yeah.
And I was like,
"I thought so too."
So the only thing I could think of that makes sense, because for Sharon to go villain, is very surprising. She's got to be brainwashed.
Yeah.
Somebody has got to be brainwashing her, because I can't see the niece of Peggy Carter going bad. You know, I don't see that. I don't see somebody that has, you know, that worked at SHIELD and, you know, went against the government to help Steve and them, you know, because she knew what was going on was wrong, and to turn around and become a villain like that. I'm not saying they could be doing it. I think it's a bad idea if they actually are. She's got to be brainwashed. It just doesn't hold water for me otherwise. There is an interesting theory floating around the internet, though, about Sharon. With the multiverse coming, we're not sure what Kevin Feige's plan is to bring mutants into the fold, whether it's going to be part of the multiverse or if it's just going to be one of those mutants have been here all along type of thing, and now they're letting themselves be known, because there is a theory going on around the internet that Sharon could actually be Mystique, who is a shape-shifting mutant from the X-Men movies, which would be kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, they're saying, that's, again, a fan theory, which I kind of like, because there's a similar storyline in the comics, not with Mystique, with another shapeshifter, that was a similar storyline, so I could kind of get behind that. But the other thing is, and this is the reason this fan came up with the idea in the first place, Madripoor is a very mutant-based location. First of all, Madripoor is made up. It does not exist in the real world.
Right.
It is it's heavily mutant-based. Like, mutants are in Madripoor constantly. Let's put it this way. To the point where there was a shout-out to Wolverine in the show, because there's a bar called Patches, which is owned by Wolverine in the comics in Madripoor.
Ah.
And there was a sign for Patches. And they walked past a sign for Patches at one point. And another reason this fan came up with this theory is because while in Madripoor, there was also a wall that had skulls on the wall that were exactly, maybe I won't say exactly because it wasn't a clear shot, but pretty damn close to the skull that the comic version of Mystique has on her costume.
Okay.
That's kind of what led that to, again, fan theory. I kind of like it. We'll see. But without knowing, I would have to say most likely she's got to be brainwashed, because if they're just flat out going villain with her, I don't know where they're going to go with that.
So that's interesting what you say about Madripoor. Like, it does feel like a very a place that could only exist in comics or movies. It's an almost completely lawless. It's like a city-state, not even really a country, right? That's almost completely lawless and is run by gangs, and is a place where even former Avengers are kind of afraid to go, right? And for Sharon to be, I do think it was obvious that Sharon was the power broker. I think for her to survive in that place was about her intelligence and training, but there was kind of a moment in Sharon's storyline where she talks about being like abandoned. Well, she's considered a traitor now, right? Like, she's been like, and she'd be arrested immediately if she was back in the United States. And so there's a part of her story there where she had to find a way to survive, and like if the only place she can survive Madripoor, I don't know. Like the idea that she's become a villain, I agree with you, it's a little tenuous, but there's a part of her story where, like, what choice did she have, right?
Yeah.
Because she's an enemy of S.H.I.E.L.D. and she's an enemy of the United States government, and she can't go home, and she does mention that she's, like, you know, she's wanted. But for her to become the power broker, I hadn't thought about mind control, but you're right, because now she's been given a pardon at the post-credit scene where she says, like, oh, she's getting a job with S.H.I.E.L.D. and she's on the phone with someone saying, now we'll have access now to all sorts of, like, technology and stuff that the implications that they can steal it and sell it, right? Because she turns out she's the power broker. Or it seems like, I mean, she never says, I am the power broker, but that appears to be the case, right?
Right.
For her to be a mutant, I don't know about that. I mean, we're all sort of waiting for all these other crossovers, right, to come in. But it's interesting. I mean, all those little Easter eggs that you mentioned do help point it that way. I was a little surprised to see her at the end of this. I don't know about you. Were you surprised to see her in this? I guess because there were already so many people, like already Zemo was in it and all these other, there were a lot of characters in this from other movies, right?
It made perfect sense for her to be in it because we haven't seen her since Civil War because she's been on the run. So it was a good way to bring her back into the fold.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we like Emily Van Camp and we like Sharon Carter. You know, I like your argument that for her to become a villain is just not for Peggy's niece. She's Peggy's niece.
Yeah.
Right? To become a villain is just not really possible. And she has, like, she will be redeemed at some point. And so mind control is as good an argument as any, right?
Yeah. Especially since we've already seen mind control. So we know it's out there.
Yes. We know it's entirely possible in this particular corner of the MCU. So there's going to be a season two, right? We already know that.
Yep.
And it's probably going to be called...
No, season...
I mean, the fu-
well, no,
it's not
going
to
no,
out yet, but
no,
there is going to be... There is going to be a season
there's
two,
not
right?
be, No, there's not going to be a season two. There's going to be a movie called Captain America. And the Winter Soldier.
And the Winter Soldier. Oh, that's...
Which, I don't think that's actually going to be the title. I think by the time it comes around, it's going to be called Captain America and the White Wolf. Because he doesn't... That's what he's going to be starting to go by. Because when's the first time they called him the White Wolf? That end credit scene of Civil War... they refer to him as the White Wolf. He even says it. He even mentioned in this that in Wakanda they call him the White Wolf.
Oh, they did.
So
yes, in Wakanda, that was in the end of maybe in the end of Captain America they called him the White Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the end of Black Panther they called him that.
I guess they want to. Yep, they called him that too. I guess they want had originally wanted to start calling him the White Wolf in this towards the end, and they said, no, we're going to save that for later. So pretty sure that later is for Black Panther 2, because I know he's in that. So by the time we get to the fourth Captain America movie, it's going to be Captain America and White Wolf.
Well, and they've got, I had thought, I misunderstood that I thought there would be another season two coming.
No.
I guess they have all these other, MCU, there's also like What If is coming as Jane mentioned. Isn't Ms. Marvel getting a show? Hawkeye's getting his own show.
Hawkeye's show is November, I want to say 24th it premieres. I know it's November, I'm pretty sure it's the 24th. Now, Ms. Marvel doesn't have a premiere date yet. It was supposed to be this year. But the way they've done the shows, they haven't had any of them overlap. So unless they're planning on overlapping Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye, I got to believe Ms. Marvel is going to be held off until probably February of next year. But yeah, Ms. Marvel's coming. And then sometime next year, She-Hulk.
Will be a show, not a movie, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Moon.
TV
I don't know
show.
Who Moon Knight is, but Moon Knight.
Oh, Moon Knight.
Yeah. Show.
I forgot about Moon Knight.
Well,
yep. Moon Knight will be.
And.
Moon Knight
is
24. I feel like Moon Knight's gonna be towards the end of next year. I think I heard.
All right.
A lot
and
of
then,
these don't have
one called,
hard dates, but.
Yeah. And there's one called Secret Invasion that's coming also, which I don't even know what that is.
Secret Invasion, that's going to be a ways off. Secret Invasion will probably be 23 or 24. That's a ways off.
Well, we're now in what they call, I mean, phase four of the MCU is starting, right? So we're now in a new, a totally new.
Well, yeah. Ironically enough.
Thing happening.
Ironically enough, technically, Black Widow was the first movie of phase four. Just because of the way things ended up playing out.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the pandemic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I had a lot of criticism, but I mean, it was fine. It's a Marvel show, and I enjoyed watching the six episodes. I watched them in just a couple of days, right? I did enjoy it. I'm not sure why. I just think, I mean, it's not a Loki, which was much more, much better storytelling and pacing and writing and just a better way to use their six episodes. I think there's just so much going on in Loki, which is crazy to say there wasn't a lot going on because there was, but there were so many things happening in Falcon and Winter Soldier, right? And then we have this, like, remember there was that, like, side story about, like, is Sam's sister going to lose her boat? Which, you know, I get it. Like, I get why they had it in there. Like, here's a guy who's offered the shield of Captain America, but he can't get a loan because he's black, right?
Well, no, so actually, it wasn't even the black thing. I mean, that was part of what he was saying.
Right?
But it's because he was gone for 5 years, so he has no credit. He has nothing.
He was blipped.
Yeah. And he's not even an Avenger currently. He's not even currently an Avenger at that moment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has no job. I wonder if they get paid as Avengers. Because you'd think he would just have a bunch of money, right? I guess if Tony Stark was around, he'd pay for it, but he's gone now. But, yeah, there was other stuff going on outside. It was, you know, there was just a lot going on with it, I think. More so than Loki, more so even than WandaVision, which had a lot going on, but only because, like, every episode was, like, a new sitcom happening, right?
Yeah, so. And I mean, and that's the thing about these Disney Plus shows. While they're a show, you know, they're kind of a more in-depth look at some of the characters. You know, I kind of like the shows because you get much more in-depth than you can in a movie. They're also, at the same time, they're setting up the next big movie. You know, I mean, each show was setting up a movie.
Yes, they were. But I think especially Falcon and the Winter Soldier was, because I think this show was the most kind of traditional Marvel storytelling, whereas Loki, they were doing something very different, and WandaVision, they were doing something definitely very different, right? I mean, this is not a kind of thing you'd ever see in a Marvel movie, and Falcon and Winter Soldier was a little more straight-up Marvel movie-type storytelling.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was... Well, I mean, if you want to put them into genres of TV... you know, WandaVision was a sitcom, whereas Loki was more like CSI, and this was, you know, like a hard-edged cop show, you know what I mean? Like, it was more, like, Loki was CSI, I say CSI because it was more intellectual, you know, and you're spending more time figuring things out than you are actually going after the bad guys. So I guess...
Right.
You know, Falcon Winter Soldier is more like your, like Hawaii 5-0. There you go. That type of show.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, all right. Good analogy, yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So, what did you say? The next one up is Hawkeye in November?
Yeah, Hawkeye in November.
Well, What If? No, What If is coming next week.
But we got What If. Yeah, we got What If for starting tomorrow, which I cannot wait for. That is going to be so much fun. And you know what? Actually,
fun, right?
It's going to be absolutely a lot of fun. I'm going to bring something up real quick that we usually don't do this type of things on this show. I mean, we talk about all kinds of stuff there. But I don't know if any of our listeners out there are the probably shouldn't use the word idiots, but I guess I just did. So, you know, it's funny. I'm going to preempt this. I was listening to a comedian recently one of the comedians on Netflix, and he's talking about how he thinks the internet is a bad thing because while everyone has a voice, not everyone should be heard, which I thought was pretty funny.
Okay,
that being said.
Agreed.
So Captain America has its own Twitter page, okay? And for the longest time, it's, you know, had a picture of Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers is no longer Captain America. So it's since the end of the Falcon and Winter Soldier, there's been a picture of Sam as Captain America. Now, Disney is trying to promote its new show, What If? So earlier in the week, a couple days ago, they changed the picture of Sam, and they now have a picture of Captain Carter, which in the What If episode, Peggy takes the Super Soldier Serum and becomes the Super Soldier. Okay.
It's what if Peggy took it instead of Steve? Is the
exactly. People have lost their mind on the internet. I mean, that one of the tweets, word for word, the tweet says, we finally get a black Captain America for a minute, and now they got to put a white woman on the cover.
Oh, my God.
People,
it's only going to be like a 40-minute episode.
Listen, people, anybody that's having a problem with this, okay, you have to – everybody has to stop trying to attack everything and think that everything is out to get them and that the entire world is just – no. Like, this really annoyed me.
Right.
It is a promotional gimmick. Sam is Captain America. He will get his picture back on the Captain America Twitter page once What If premieres. It's just a promotional gimmick, okay? That's it.
Right.
It's all there is to it. People have got to get out of their own way in this world. This stuff going on in the world today is getting carried away. It's a TV show.
Right. People should get informed before they tweet also. She's not the new Captain America
like
after one episode thing.
Like
anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Going to that type of stuff.
So it comes out tomorrow,
yeah,
so I guess we'll cover that. We can cover that. Is it going to dump the whole six, or is it going to be a week-by-week kind of thing?
It's going to be week-by-week. I don't know how many episodes there are, actually.
I don't know either, but in the week I'll talk about them as they come out.
Yeah, it'll be, And it's going to lay out perfectly because it's a week by week, and I think the last episode airs 2 weeks before Hawkeye premieres. So
perfect. All right.
That can't be right because that's too many weeks.
Because November.
That's November. Yeah, I can't do math. I forgot a month. I left September out when I was doing. When I was doing my math, I left September. I went from August to October.
Whoops.
So, one last quick thing. Did you watch Dexter?
No, I did not watch Dexter.
You did not watch Dexter. However, you do know my hatred for the finale. I know.
You
do know my hatred for the finale.
America, right? You and everybody who ever watched it, I think.
Over the past couple of months, Artie has been watching Dexter. And he finally, last week, finally, he got to the finale. Because Alyssa and I have been wanting to talk to him about things, and we've been very careful not to say anything, what we've heard about the new show, in front of him. Because, so we're like, could you just please finish the show so we can talk openly? So he asked if I wanted to watch the last two episodes with him while he watched it. So we sat in the living room here, and I rewatched the last two episodes. And I was like, I can't believe you're making me do this. You know how much I hate this finale. He lost his mind. He hates computers as much as I do. He's like, are you kidding me? Yeah. But the good news is, now that he's done with Dexter, he started Orphan Black.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
You know, my friend's been bugging me. I bought the audiobook, which is the follow-on to the show, and I haven't listened to it yet. And I went and seen it was like, maybe it's time to go back and watch the show over again before I even listen to this thing. I might rewatch it. It's only six seasons. six?
Yeah,
three?
It's only 50, I think. There's five seasons. There's 50 episodes. There's 10 a season.
Five. Yeah. And it helped me. So when I watched this show Departure last week, Christian Bruhn, who played Donnie, is in it. And he plays a very small but very pivotal role. And I was like, oh, it's Donnie. Oh, Orphan Black. Maybe I should watch it again.
I thought about it, but then he'll never get it watched because we got so many other things. Eventually, when we get done with all the stuff we've been watching, eventually, I'm gonna watch Fringe with him because I've never done a Fringe rewatch.
I haven't either.
So,
actually.
So eventually, after we get done. Probably after, because right now our show that we've been watching, we're watching Quantum Leap, and when we get done with that, we'll probably start Fringe, because I've never done a Fringe rewatch.
Having a child is so much work. There's so much TV to educate him on. God,
I know.
Once you get already done, it'll be time to start with Damon.
I know. I say that all the time. I'm like, I can't do this again.
God, if you'd only had those kids closer together, they're like, what, like 6 years apart?
I know.
Right? Like,
and it's funny because Junie hadn't seen a Marvel movie since she left. So since she's been back, we started watching them all. We only got three left, finally. Yeah, so we watched them in chronological order. So we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Endgame, and Spider-Man Far From Home left.
God, educating children.
And then she'll be caught up. But you want to hear a funny story? I don't remember if I mentioned this when we were talking about Black Widow. But when we went to see it in the theater, Junie went with us, and I was like, "It's between these two movies, so you shouldn't get spoiled with anything." And then the end credit scene came up, and I went, "Uh oh."
Yeah, huge spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, "What?" Oh, well, sorry.
Whoopsie.
So, yeah, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, because she didn't know she was dead. Yeah,
she hasn't seen Endgame yet. Yeah, she hasn't seen Endgame yet, so she didn't know that Natasha does.
Mm. Well, so. That's the way it was.
Oh, well.
I mean, they wouldn't have added that. The movie was intended to air before. The movie was intended to be done before Endgame, right? It just came out wrong. And so they added that. Scene.
You know, I don't remember its I don't remember its original place. I just remember when they originally going to do it, she got pregnant, so that pushed it back. And then they finally got around to doing it, and then COVID pushed it back. I feel like originally it was supposed to be before Endgame. Yeah, I mean, it definitely would have had a different end credit, but anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So. All right, well, I guess that's all for tonight.
Yep, all right.
We will do it again next week.
We'll be back next Tuesday with, I guess,
have a good week.
Nothing new is coming back. Yep, have a great week.
Yep.
Watch a lot of TV.
For Real Estate.
And.
Next episode of AHS, and we'll talk about What If. And anything else we think of.
Right.
Maybe you guys
will
complain about Roswell some more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll also drop that show. I mean, The Walking Dead will be back, not this weekend, but next weekend, the 22nd. So we'll end
that.
Sorry to hear that. It's the last season. We got to do it. You know, Jamie and I are watching this. We're hate watching it because just we're so invested. I envy you
for having the nerve
to cut it loose a while ago, but
we're
just
here. The reason I had the nerve to cut it off was because think about it. There is so much TV out there with all the different streaming
that's
services
so
and everything. Even something that's worse, it's more watchable than my biggest problem was not with the actors or the storyline or anything like that. I was looking forward to watching Negan. It was the fact that the showrunner specifically, they treat, you know, smart TV should know they don't need gimmicks for the fans to watch. I mean, it was, what, season 6 at the time? Season 7, maybe? I mean, we're already watching the show,
yeah.
People. You're not going to get new people by dragging it out. I mean, and that little trick they did,
yeah,
with not letting us know who got killed, you know, the next season until,
mm-hmm,
25
mm-hmm
minutes into the show.
Yeah.
So if you turned it off, it counts still. You can't,
yeah,
you know, if there wasn't all this TV and all these streaming services, I probably would have kept watching because there probably wouldn't have been a lot of options for decent TV. But with that many options, and then you treat your audience like they're idiots, it just rubs me the wrong way.
I guess the difference is it's like Jamie and I, it's like we have an abusive boyfriend, and we're waiting for him to break up. We couldn't break up with him, and finally he's going to break up with us. It's like when you date someone, and
yes,
for some reason you can't break up with them, and you're waiting to be dumped, and finally The Walking Dead is breaking up with us. And you had the nerve to dump your girlfriend years ago, but we had to wait. Just like I've gotten a bad haircut every single week, but I'm afraid to break up with my hairdresser. So I just keep getting a bad haircut every week. That's The Walking Dead.
I like it.
Yep.
So
one more year
right
of bad haircuts and then I'll be done.
There you
all right
go.
I'm going to sit here in
all
the
right
dark in my
talk
house for another half an hour. All right.
Oh, your
lights
are still out? That sucks.
There's still, it's very unusual.
That's time for bed anyway.
For this long. I know.
Time for bed anyway.
I'm going to wake up at 2 a.m. with every single light on in the house.
I've done
right
that. I've had that happen. So.
Yep.
All right.
So
have a good night,
I'll
Karen.
Let you know what happens.
I'll talk to you
all
later.
Right. Good night.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.